You know, at the end of the day, how do you drive performance? How do you have fun? How do you enjoy it? And, you know, there's so many different things you can't control. There's many things we can't control. I get it. But there's your attitude. You can always control your attitude, even when everybody else is a jerk. So how do you make it enjoyable for yourself? How do you find the right spot for yourself? And then how, you know, let's thrive. Let's make it a success. Let's create stuff that actually makes a difference.
The smartest marketers from all walks of life, in every industry, talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now, right here on the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
Marketing Smarts listeners, do you love being a marketer? Do you like marketing day in and day out? Have you chosen the right career? Is marketing even a good career? Well, I know many of us are saying, yeah, otherwise I wouldn't be doing it. But then I wonder if there's some of us actually wondering or pondering the questions that I just asked. Well, today's episode, we're talking about how B2B marketers can know if they've chosen the right career and is marketing a good career with Christoph Trapp. That's right. We're going to talk about if it's a good career or not. We're going to talk about talent shortage, keeping the people that you have in their seats. We're going to talk about the mentality of going to play versus going to work. We're going to talk about some potholes, some hurdles, what does success look, and some words of wisdom along the way. I'm super excited for this one for many of you because Christoph Trapp is a globally recognized content marketing expert and author of Is Marketing a Good Career? He leads content strategy at VoxPopMe, a market research software company, and has helped companies create better content for their target audiences throughout his career. He blogs at christophtrapp.com. So if you want to learn more or read more after this episode, now you know where you can head. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear from a word from our sponsor, and then we'll get right into, that's right, directly into the good stuff.
Are you looking for great curated content specific to you, the B2B marketer? Want to have fun while also learning valuable information to help you succeed on a daily basis? Then you're in luck. Look no further. This week's Marketing Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Smarts Live Show. That's right. You can join us live every Monday where we shine the spotlight on you, the community members, share fresh B2B news, several top-notch curated articles to help you be a better marketer, and of course, have tons of fun along the way. If you want even more B2B marketing education with the ability to ask questions and engage with the rest of the audience, tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern for the Marketing Smarts Live Show. You won't regret the additional B2B learning you'll be adding to your life. Now, let's get back to this episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast. All right, Marketing Smarts listeners, you know me. I'm always excited, but I'm excited today for a different reason. I'm excited because I think that when you saw the title of this podcast episode, you said, "Huh? Like, what is this conversation right here? I'm already a B2B marketer." Well, it is a conversation that you will definitely want to go on the journey with us. I am super excited because I'm not alone. I'm never alone. And I always bring smart people in to the conversation. But as you saw in the title, we're talking about how B2B marketers can know if they've chosen the right career. Is marketing a good career? As somebody who is a marketer, I sure hope so. But let's find out. Christoph, I'm sorry. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's start with the question right here pertaining to marketers, careers, and knowing if we've made right choices or not. Christoph, what keeps you up at night?
You know, what keeps me up at night? There's so many talented people that could make their living in marketing, that could enter marketing, that can help us produce better content for our brands. How do we get them to come into marketing, number one, and then second of all, have them stay in marketing? You know, you hear the talent shortage all over the place. And people have choices, right? And partially that's our culture, right? You move around and you do whatever you want to, and people do that nowadays. But how do we get the right people in the right seats on our teams and then keep them there? And that's really what it's all about from my perspective.
So it's interesting. I want to dive into that a little bit deeper. I love that we're talking to B2B marketers and we're talking about how do we get more people in the seats. Which leads me to the question for you, the Marketing Smarts listeners, when's the last time you tried to actually get somebody to go from a different department into your team? Or who was the last person that you talked to about how awesome your job is? Or can you actually say that? So my question, Christoph, is when you think about getting more people into marketing seats, like what can we as the marketers, the Marketing Smarts listeners do? Are there some tips, tricks, hacks? Like where does your brain go on that one?
You know, I think there's a lot of overarching cultural things you can think about, right? How do you have the right culture? How are you collaborative? How do you make it fun? And what's interesting about the whole making it fun thing is, you know, I'm not talking about just going out and having drinks and having a party and doing potlucks or whatever, but how do you have fun performing together as a team? And that takes the right people in the right seats. And what I mean by that is not everybody is good at everything. Now, I get it. You know, in a startup, you might have to wear different hats, and that's fine. I wear different hats too all the time. But at the end of the day, you know, not everybody is a good designer. Not everybody is a good blog writer. Not everybody is a good podcaster. So how do you make sure you get the right people in those right seats and they actually want to do those things? And not just do they want to do them, but they're good at them, or at least they want to, they have a foundation and they want to learn, right? Especially with newer employees or people moving on to the marketing team. But at the end of the day, you have to create an environment that people want to stay in and people want to be in.
So where do you think companies are actually falling short, right? In your first segment, the thing that keeps you awake, you mentioned, why is there a talent shortage? How do we keep people in their seats? You even just re-referenced that. What are companies, like if I'm a B2B marketer and I just sneakingly want to like slide this over to my CEO, CFO, see whoever, what are the things that companies could be doing better to enable marketers to actually kind of be able to live in this place that you're kind of starting to paint a picture around?
Yeah, I think especially if you go outside the marketing team, there is so many different opinions of what marketing actually is. And this is a section in my book I talk about. You have to find the right company. I know people say people leave jobs because of bosses. You know, that's true. But people also leave jobs because it's just the company doesn't understand how marketing is supposed to work. And there's different facets to marketing. I'll give you an example. Yes, can you run an ad? Yes, can you just bombard people's emails with offers nonstop? Sure, you can. But is that a long-term strategy to actually help you be successful over the long term? You know, there's many, many other things. You know, do you build a brand through content? Do you build a brand by being out there, by being helpful, by building a community? Mark Schaefer just wrote his latest book on how brands have to build community. You know, I think that's a fantastic thing to think about, and some brands certainly do that. There's too many executives out there. The only thing they ever talk about is, I need 7,000 leads. And I think that's Christina Del Valar is the person who said that first. And she says, how do you even come up with that number? I'm not opposed to leads. I want leads too. Yes, I do. I want to make money too. But there's all these different aspects to marketing and they all go together. If you have a crappy brand, good luck getting two leads.
Yeah, that is so true. And it leads me to a question that I want to get to, because I want to talk about how maybe marketers can be the agent of change in their organization. But before that, in the previous section, you said something that I always have found interesting, and that is that they can have fun working together. And the way that I tell this sometimes is I like to tell people I don't ever really go to work. I go to play, because there's a different mindset when you go to play versus that I have to go get work done. Talk me through your thoughts, Christoph, when I talk about this mentality of being able to play together as teams and be successful instead of, you know, trudging through the work, like what that equals or what you think about.
You know, at the end of the day, marketing campaigns of any kind doesn't make any difference what it is. They are about creativity, right? How do you stand out and how do you do that? Now, I'm not going to oversimplify that there's no pressure. There certainly is pressure. But to be creative, it can be so much fun. And somebody asked me one time, do you think this content team is on the right track? And it was more on the content side than marketing. And I said, I've never seen a content team that works well together if they don't like each other, maybe even love each other, at least on the working together part, right? You have to be able to bat around ideas. You have to be able to give each other feedback. You have to be able to understand each other. I'll give you an example. There's sometimes when people want to give feedback on something and it's irrelevant, right? It's already done. We'll never do this one thing again. The feedback doesn't matter other than, you know, like you want to tell them that you didn't like something. So be very specific over what goal do you have in mind? What are you trying to accomplish? And how can it actually help? But I think that comes with trust. The team has to build trust. And that doesn't mean everybody has to be friends outside of work necessarily. I think especially the whole thing outside of work, when people are remote, it's harder and harder. You know, if I've been on Zoom meetings with you all day, I'm not going to have an after-hour Zoom meeting with you, right? Let's be honest. But at the end of the day, marketing is about being creative with a purpose and a goal. And that enables teams, when they work well together, to really have fun, to make it enjoyable, and create stuff that matters.
I think there's so many good words in there, Marketing Smarts listeners, of being creative, having purpose, there being a goal, and that being kind of a lane or vein that you're going down, instead of it being just this very dry, metricized kind of world that some marketing companies or some companies and their marketing teams live in. So, Christoph, I have to ask some hard questions along this because it's a hard conversation. Like, we're literally in the title said, hey, how do you know if you've chosen the right career? And I might even say right career or maybe the right company in that title if I were to rewrite it. But if you're in a company, I'm listening to this. And by the way, we feel you and we are thinking of you if you connect with what I'm about to say, Marketing Smarts listener. If you're in a company and you're not doing marketing in a way that you can sleep at night, like it just doesn't feel right, how can those marketers be agents of change in their own organization?
It's such an interesting question, especially in North American culture where people are very fluid where they work and when they leave and whatever. So one option always is to find a better company. The problem is you have to figure out, is it really different? The grass is not always greener on the other side, as people say. Certainly you can slowly move things forward, right? Hey, you can make suggestions. Maybe you have autonomy on certain things. Try those things. You know, what can you do without anybody approving anything? And you can just see if it works. I think many marketers, maybe not most, depends on the company, of course, too, have certain pieces where they can just try things and nobody will challenge it, right? Or it doesn't go up the chain too far. So try to see what you can control. And that's kind of I'll give you an example. We have this joke here at home, and I say to my wife, you know, I eat something, and as soon as I'm done eating it, you make dinner, right? Like, and I didn't know you were going to make dinner in 5 minutes. And, you know, while that story is not incorrect, at the end of the day, I control whether or not I will have dinner again, right? So just because she made dinner 5 minutes after I ate doesn't mean I have to eat it again. And so control what you can control and see what you can push forward and see where you can drive results. Because no matter what you do in marketing, honestly, everything is coming back to performance. Is it working? Whether that's SEO, whether it's lead generation, whether it's website traffic, email open rates, makes no difference. People will look at, are we making a difference? Are we connecting with the right people? Is it working?
I love that you tied it back to, is it working? I think about, again, a couple of segments ago when you talked about like 700 and some odd leads that we have to generate and it being just about leads. If we want to be in an organization that's not just all about leads, because trust me, as a marketer, I love me some good leads too. I love even better qualified leads. Let's just throw that out there. But if it's not all about leads all the time, where the heck do we try to get the eyeballs to focus to then enable us to go on a different type of journey inside of our company, inside of our career?
Well, the strategies are varied on how you do that, but I'm a big, big fan of building content machine where you can really rank in SEO for everything that your target audience searches for. And that's everything from, you know, 70 searches a month to maybe 1,000 or maybe more, depending on how big you're growing it. And I like that strategy, and I'll go into social and email in a minute, but I like that strategy because you're really building your home on your own land. You're not rented land, right? And once you have a website that ranks high, the payback is just really there. I mean, it really, really is. But it does take a while. You know, you look at the impressions on Google, you look at the click-throughs, you look at what people are doing. And of course, you look at how can you convert them to different things. So I think any company that doesn't focus on SEO, I think that's not a good strategy. Maybe you don't need that strategy for the current quarter, but you probably will need that strategy for quarter, I don't know, 10, 12, 13, 14 down the road. Social media certainly there are ways that you should participate there, and things change all the time. I'll give you an example. On my own podcast, The Business Storytelling Show, I live stream it, and we do YouTube Shorts. And you know how I grow my subscribers on my podcast? Believe it or not, through YouTube Shorts, because they get thousands of views all of a sudden because they're currently hot and people subscribe. Not all of them are my target audience, but many of them are, right? But they're seeing my content and I can grow them. And of course, don't forget about email. But be careful with email. People are getting more and more tired of, you know, getting emails nonstop. And the final thing I'll say is I do think text messaging is on the up and up. I mean, I see some companies who do that pretty well, some companies who, you know, who are more annoying than others. But certainly I will pay attention. I would pay attention to a text right now, George. No offense as we're talking, but I would not pay attention to an email.
Tactical sessions, inspirational keynotes, off-the-clock antics. And let's not forget about immeasurable connections. What am I talking about? The B2B Forum, of course. For more than 15 years, the B2B Forum has been the conference where today's leading B2B marketers gather for insights, networking, and laughs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's never too early to plan for success. Join us in 2023 in October for inspiration from B2B marketing experts. And I mean those marketers who walk the walk and know how to talk the talk in a way that you can understand. Get access to real-world actionable insights on the tactics and tools that work today and strategies that stand the test of time. When you say, well, on October 4th, you can join us for the B2B Forum full-day workshop for all access attendees. And on the 5th and 6th, well, spectacular conference shenanigans. That's right. If you head over to the B2B Forum website right now, you can sign up to join us October 4th through the 6th for some amazing education. And guess what? I'll see you next year at the B2B Forum. That's right. I'll be there. Will you? So that's interesting. I want to dive into that in a little bit. But hey, I'm glad that you mentioned content marketing, because Marketing Smarts listeners, if you haven't checked out the episode that is with Joe Polizzi, the mechanics of starting and running a content first B2B marketing department plus epic content, you definitely want to check that out. And Christoph, I know you mentioned our friend Mark Schaefer in his new book. Do you have an episode that the Marketing Smarts listeners could tune in on? The why, what, and how of community and brand building for B2B marketing victory, which we all are looking for. I want to tie this back in a little bit, which, by the way, that was with Mark Schaefer. Just, I'm sure people knew that. But I want to tie this back a little bit too, because you've mentioned this numerous times. I kept jotting it down in my notes. And you mentioned the right seats. So do they like to podcast? Do they like to write articles? Do they like to do this? And you know what? I want to tie together the talent shortage and the right seat conversation. And what I mean by that is, how can companies, CMOs, leaders, how can they adopt a mindset of test and move humans versus just the ejection seat?
Oh my God, my goodness, that is a big, big topic. And you know, I think it starts with how you hire. What are the basic foundational needs that a person needs to have to be in a specific seat or specific group of seats, right? So I'll give you an example. I always needed writers, but I never hired writers. I hired content strategists. They all had to write, but they also had to have other skills. Now, some of them, once I had a group of people on the team, they all had different skills. Some people were better at one thing and some people were better at another thing. So, but what I tried to do is set them up to be successful as part of the team. Nobody would have been successful if they didn't know how to write to a certain extent. That doesn't mean everybody has to be a fantastic copywriter. That doesn't mean everybody has to be a fantastic blog writer. All the different specialties when it comes to writing. But they certainly have to have a foundation. And then you have to see, where do they fit on the team? How do you move people around? Maybe they're on the wrong seat. Do you have a different need? I'll give you an example. I went into a company one time and it was a restructure, George. Like, we were going to restructure. That was the mission to an extent. And not a single person was laid off. You know why? Because there was a need for a specific role. In fact, like three roles of similar types. And people in other roles had a lot of the skills that those roles needed. And then here's what else they had. They also had the, I want to do this attitude. Let's do it. Hey, here's the things I have to learn. Can you help me? Yes, I can. Sounds good. Hey, I'm not very good at this part. Can you help me? Yes, but I'm good at this part, so I can try that. So you have to have those conversations. And I think that's hard for people because let's be honest, if you are in an untrusting relationship with your boss, you know, or you think you're going to get laid off or whatever, and you say, well, I'm not good at this, but I'm happy to learn. And they say, well, we don't have time to learn, you know, so you do need the right leadership too. They probably wouldn't say it like that to you, but they might, that's what they mean. Right. So you want to think about, you want to have the right relationship. You want to have a trusting relationship and figure out if you have, maybe you didn't put out the right chairs, to be honest, you know, and people just need to move around a little bit.
Love that so much. I want to take a little sidestep in the conversation because this is less about careers and about something that you said that I know tickled my marketing ears, and therefore I can assume maybe tickled the Marketing Smarts listeners as the B2B marketers they are. And that is around, I understand, and everybody listening understands the importance of attention and having the ability to get the attention of the audience. And you said something a little bit ago about, George, I wouldn't pay attention to an email during this podcast, but I would pay attention to a text message. And Christoph, I started laughing internally because sitting right in front of me on its charger, in front of the screens that I'm looking at, is my phone. And I would be able to see if there was a text. And I know as hard as I would try, I would probably start to read at least the beginning of that text to see how important it was or if it could wait till later, which is interesting if we all stop for a minute and think about that. So the question that I want to ask you is, how can you get started with SMS and or, I don't care which direction you go, what does great use of SMS look like? Because I want to hit this off at the pass of like, that doesn't mean you grab SMS and just start spraying and praying like you historically may have done with email. So A, how do you get started and what does great use of it look like in your mind?
Well, first of all, you have to find a way to get people to sign up, right? So Angela Profit on her website has a pop-up, you know, and she doesn't even try to convert people to email anymore. She just tries to convert people to text messages, which is really interesting in my opinion. And then basically they send out short sound bites every once in a while, you know, with like little sayings or, you know, like encouraging people. So that's kind of her business model, something like that. I don't have the exact wording, of course, in front of me. But depending on your business, you know, send people offers, send people, hey, we have a webinar today, join us today, not in 2 weeks. That's not how SMS works, right? That's not how text works, but we have one today, join us. But first of all, you need people to sign up anyways. But people pay attention to it. It's just like, it's really like any content, honestly. How do you, you have to make it relevant to people. You have to have it sound, you have to have it snackable, you know, relatively short. Don't make them click on anything. Just, you know, they can reply. So there's different vendors out there that you can use for that kind of setup. But it's a conversation. So it's a conversational strategy to stay connected with people. But the first step is you have to come up with a plan. What are you going to do? And then how do you get people to sign up? And, you know, maybe you already have people's numbers and you can just email them and say, hey, we have this way to connect now, or something like that, or just have a checkbox. I mean, you see that sometimes. Is it okay if we text you if you want to get those messages?
Yeah, I love this idea of this is a perfect place to like slow down to speed up, AKA meaning there needs to be some type of strategy around it. I love the idea too, is it's a layer of where you could, if used right, really humanize your brand quite quickly and with massive impact. But also I like that it's kind of journeying into this realm of communication. And that's what I want to circle back to. A lot of this interview, as we've been going through this, Christoph, I've been feeling like we've been bumping around the conversation of the importance for internal communication and actually being able to, like you even referenced in one of your segments, look, why are you trying to give advice when we're never going to do that again? It's not going to be of value. Are you just communicating so you can kind of verbally vomit in the space that we all have to live in? Like, what is happening right now? So just take a couple minutes and share with the Marketing Smarts listeners, like when you think of great communication that enables fun, you know, impacts the fact that you like working where you're at, makes you feel proud to be a marketer, where does your mind go around the word communication?
Yeah, but first of all, I want to respond to the slowing down to speed up comment. So I hear that all the time. I know Anne Hanley may have brought that up first in the community. But you know what? Slowing down and to speed up works, but don't stop because you're not going to speed up. So I just want to point that out because sometimes people think slowing down means we will just stop and not do anything until we have it totally figured out. You will never have it totally figured out. I don't know anybody that ever has, honestly. Internal communication, it comes back to that relationship and how do you communicate. And now, you know, some teams can communicate really well on Slack. They can read each other's tones. They can get it. They see how you're talking. And some people cannot save their life to communicate on Slack because nobody understands their tone. They don't know if they're kidding. They don't know if they're joking. Even if they put an LOL behind it, they don't know any of that. So you have to figure out what is the best way and how do you do it. Sometimes it's best to hop on a call. Sometimes it's okay to talk just text-based communication. But the communication is so important, to follow up with people, to ask questions, to kind of, you know, to try to move things forward. So
I love this so much. It's funny because I have some people I know that I can text in my life. I have other people that I know I can't text or Slack. So I'll literally send them like a one-to-one video because it's so important for them to see the micro expressions of my face when I am making a sarcastic joke and not being for real on some things that we talk about. And so understanding that other person, I love that so much. I got a couple more questions as we close this out a little bit. But we have to ask or answer, dare I say, the questions that were brought up in the title of this podcast episode. In your thoughts, Christoph, is marketing a good career?
So the answer in my book is yes, no, if you're good at it. And that is totally an oversimplification, of course. But you know what it comes down to? It comes down to, do you have the skills? Do you enjoy it? Can you drive the right results? Can you move forward with changes? When I first came into marketing, George, it was nothing like it was like today. When I first went into journalism, it's nothing like it was back in those days. So you have to kind of move along with those changes. If you like all those things, marketing is a great career. If you go to work every day and say, I have to write another headline for another ad, maybe it's not the best career for you. So, you know, you have to have that right mix of enjoyment, skills, and then drive performance, of course, as well. But if you're totally dreading and you're not, you know, some people are not even good at it, right? And I guess today with AI tools, maybe you don't have to be as good at certain things as you used to be because you can just, you know, ChatGPT, write me a, you know, headline for this ad. Or whomever, right? But at the end of the day, if you're good at it, it's a fantastic career. But more importantly, also, you have to find the right company, you have to find the right fit, the right team, and the right boss. And I know that is harder to do than it said. And I'll give you an example. Companies interview people, and it's a 30-minute interview, and the people are 10 minutes late, and then they try to end 3 minutes early because they have to go to the bathroom before their next meeting. Good luck trying to figure all that out in whatever, you know, 20 minutes that is. So it is harder than it sounds, but I think you can get hints in interviews. I think you can get hints in your daily life. I mean, as you said earlier, I don't go to work, I go to play. If you go to work and you're just dreading it, maybe it's not the right career, or maybe you're just in the wrong seat, or maybe you're at the wrong company.
So much good in there. It's almost like a litmus test to answer the question of like, have I chosen the right career? Or have I chosen the right company? All of that is found in what you answered for, is marketing a good career? Christoph, I love the fact, you referenced in my book, The Answer Is, which means you've thought a lot about this. You've been on a journey. You're trying to help people answer these right questions. And so because we've been on a journey, there's one thing that happens when we travel the world and these thoughts come to mind and we chase after them, is we start to learn nuggets of wisdom along the way. And so, Christoph, what are some words of wisdom that you would want to leave the Marketing Smarts audience as we let them get back to their regularly scheduled day?
You know, at the end of the day, how do you drive performance? How do you have fun? How do you enjoy it? And, you know, there's so many different things you can't control. There's many things we can't control. I get it. But there's your attitude. You can always control your attitude, even when everybody else is a jerk. So how do you make it enjoyable for yourself? How do you find the right spot for yourself? And then how, you know, let's thrive. Let's make it a success. Let's create stuff. that actually makes a difference.
So, Marketing Smarts listeners, did you take lots of notes? I have to ask, what is your hashtag one thing, your number one execution opportunity after this podcast? Make sure you reach out and let us know in my inbox or on Twitter using the hashtag, #MPB2B. Also, I have to ask, are you a free member of the Marketing Profs community yet? If not, head over to mprofs.com/MP today. You won't regret the additional B2B marketing education you'll be adding to your life. Hey, listeners, we'd like it if you could leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app, but we'd love it if you'd share this episode with a coworker or friend. Until we meet in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast, where we talk with Justin Levy about power up your B2B marketing efforts with influencer marketing and private communities, I hope you do just a couple of things. One, reach out and let us know what conversation you'd like to listen in on next. Two, focus on getting 1% better at your craft each and every day. And finally, remember to be a happy, helpful, humble B2B marketing human. And we'll see you in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.